The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 23, verses from 6 to 10. Verses from 6 to 10. Allow me to read. Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe all these things. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously, "We find nothing wrong with this man," and said, "What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. Amen. Paul is now standing in the Sanhedrin, which the commander called to convene. He stared at each of pathetic 71 members of Sanhedrin, who most advanced in their lives, but obeyed the idol of the Lord, whom they created on their own. The Jews in Jerusalem started an uproar to kill Paul, arguing Paul insulted the law of the Lord and his temple. Paul, however, began a talk that he had fulfilled his duty to God in all good conscience. On his word, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. To the Jews, to strike on one's mouth was the worst insult to a person. The high priest announced that Paul is not worthy of listening to his words anymore by striking the mouth of Paul, who had fulfilled his duty in all good conscience, and by insulting him. The law could define one's criminality only when there was testimonies. Otherwise, everyone would be freed from their charges. The high priest Ananias, however, went against the law from the beginning, and the people struck the mouth of Paul, treating him like an animal, no better than a criminal in the Sanhedrin where the law ruled. The duplicity of the high priest Ananias, who called himself the guardian of the law, looked innocent on the surface, but was actually the whitewashed wall over which every ugly thing happens. Then Paul said, "God will strike him," calling him whitewashed wall, and warned him that God will strike him even when he does nothing. That was not a blasphemy toward Ananias. It was just about righteous justification and warning as an apostle toward Ananias, who violated the law and had him be struck in the Sanhedrin. Those who were near Paul, however, thought it was his insult toward the high priest Ananias, and asked Paul, "How dare he insulted God's high priest?" They called Ananias as the high priest of God. To them, the high priest meant someone who had the equal authority of God and was the substitute of God. Paul told them he didn't know if Ananias was the high priest, which meant that he had no idea if a man who violated the law and ordered violence in the Sanhedrin could possibly be the high priest at all. In other words, if he was the high priest, he could never exercise violence unrighteously in such an official setting. And Paul quoted the law in Exodus 22:28, "Do not blaspheme God or curse the rule of your people." He meant that the high priest should not treat him like a criminal based on the law, as he didn't blaspheme the high priest according to the law. All the 71 members of the Sanhedrin, which was the highest justice body, were watching Paul to judge him, but Paul didn't get forced or discouraged at all, and justified himself clearly. As I talked last time, Paul was still compassionate about the high priest Ananias, who had Paul be stuck at his mouth and insulted when he righteously appealed, criticized, and warned. Even if the high priest Ananias treated Paul like a beast, no better than a criminal from the beginning, Paul didn't forget to be compassionate about Ananias. It was nothing unexpected at all that such Paul, who had respect toward and compassion about people all the time, despite being persecuted by numerous numbers of people, was used as the perfect pathway toward God, who comes to this land to save all his people. When Ananias had Paul be stuck in his mouth and publicly insulted, if he lost his mind and reacted equally to the high priests by insulting them, including the members of Sanhedrin, what would happen? Considering they had already stigmatized him as a traitor, and the Sanhedrin represented the Jews who were eager to kill Paul, there would be no doubt that Paul might have been unanimously sentenced to death on the charge of blasphemy to the law and the temple. In that case, as long as the Roman government accepted the religious law of the Jews, the commander would have found no justification to protect Paul anymore. Although Paul was publicly insulted, he was still compassionate about and respected people, and he never got upset or lost control. Therefore, Paul could be wise enough to know what and how to do in the Sanhedrin, where the high priest did not even treat him as a human being. In the verse 6, "Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, 'My brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead.'" Most of the 71 members who composed the Sanhedrin were Sadducees and Pharisees. Being different each other in wearing clothes, they were opposite in theological perspectives and the way of life. The name of Sadducees goes back to Zadok, who was the high priest at the time of David. In the 2nd century BC, the priests who called themselves the descendants of Zadok and insisted the right to manage the temple started to form the Sadducees. At the time of Paul, Sadducees were made up of priests, members of Sanhedrin, and others in the ruling class who had the vestige right religiously and politically in the Jewish society. They only accepted the authority of Torah and denied those of the Old Testament. They believed that God gave man the law, but they don't directly get involved in the living of man. Therefore, there was no providence of God to them in the first place. Of course, they didn't believe the existence of angel, the spirit, and the next life, like resurrection and everlasting life as well. What was important to them was the present itself. As a result, it was inevitable for them to be materialistic, who lost their morality and ethics. Consequently, the Sadducees, who tarnished the holiness of the temple and worship into business exchange of dirty merchants, became the subject of fury and hatred to ordinary citizens. On the contrary, Pharisees, who meant the divided or different, and as the descendants of Hasidim, who led the Jewish reform in the 4th century BC, fully obeyed the law more than anyone else. As they called themselves Pharisees to separate themselves from anything worldly, unlawful, and unholy, they were so proud of themselves about what they were called. They accepted not only Torah, but also the Old Testament as the official Bible, and respected the tradition passed down from their ancestors. They also believed in angels, the existence of the spirit, and the next life, like resurrection and the everlasting life. As they went against corrupt priests who had the control in Judaism, people respected and trusted Pharisees who strictly kept the law. As such, the stark difference between Sadducees and Pharisees in theological thinking and the way of life always provided the cause of arguing each other. Paul announced in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." The ending of a Greek verb can tell the difference of the sex and number of subjects, and the subject is omitted in general. Paul, however, used the subject "I" and announced, "I am descended from Pharisees." It was to emphasize he was a Pharisee. Paul also revealed that he was descended from Pharisees. In accordance with the Greek original version, Paul said that he was descended from Pharisees using a plural form of Pharisees. It was to stress that he didn't just become a Pharisee at his time, but his ancestors were all Pharisees. and now he testifies that he stands on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. In the meantime, there immediately was a fight between Pharisees and Sadducees. In verse 7 and 8, when he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe all these things. The cause of the fight was simple. It was the difference in theological difference that while Pharisees believed in angels, the spirit, resurrection, and the everlasting life, Sadducees refused all of such things. The resurrection mentioned by Paul and that believed by Pharisees were not even the same. Since Pharisees believed in the next life, they accepted a general meaning of resurrection, thinking that people could live eternally. But the resurrection that Paul mentioned was that of Jesus of Nazareth, who died on the cross by the Jews, including Pharisees, on the charge of blasphemy. One of the reasons that the Jews, including Pharisees, wanted to kill Paul also was that Paul had testified Jesus of Nazareth, whom they nailed to death on the charge of blasphemy, was resurrected. Pharisees, however, did not even try to understand who was resurrected and why. They suddenly became the champion of Paul against Sadducees because Paul was under interrogation just due to resurrection. In verse 9, there was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. "We find nothing wrong with this man," they said. "What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" Likewise, Sadducees were not such people who would just sit and watch as Pharisees protected Paul in a collective manner. So verse 10 of today's scripture testifies that there was a big dispute between the two. The Greek word translated into dispute means a disturbance engaging physical force. As the scripture says, that the dispute became so violent, Sadducees and Pharisees had a violent fight. The Sanhedrin was convened to interrogate Paul. So Paul had to defend himself as a defendant at the council. If the members were listening carefully to the defense of Paul from the beginning to the end, they would have received the graceful gospel of God, who was willing to save them as well through the precious blood of Jesus on the cross. They, however, were mired in their own reasoning and missed such valuable chance. The Pharisees decided to side with Paul was for their logic to believe the general meaning of resurrection. It was not because they believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. they also lost the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to connect themselves to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the sin of man and was resurrected from death into the everlasting life. The resurrection here is neither abstract nor ideal. In short, Sadducees and Pharisees, who were stuck in their own reasoning, missed the new and eternal future, which they could have gotten through Paul in Jesus Christ. Being stuck in logics leads such an absurd consequence like this. On past June 23rd, there was a national poll regarding Brexit in the UK. It was to ask its people whether they agree or not to exit the European Union. It turned out that 51.9% of them agreed to exit the EU. There has been a dispute between those who wanted to stay and others wanting to be separate based on their own reasoning. In the process, they exaggerated and twisted the truth and sometimes incited people so that more people could take sides with them. And the result of the poll barely had the people of the UK look at the truth. One day after the poll, the pound plummeted, and 100 billion pounds, or 15.5 trillion Korean won, were evaporated in one day. Moreover, as foreign financial organizations and business showed signs to leave the country, the most frequently asked question on the internet was, "What does it mean to leave EU?" as was reported. In the fight between the camp who wanted to stay and that to leave, the British people had their votes without even knowing what it really meant to leave the EU. Consequently, on June 30th, 1 week after the poll, more than 4 million people requested to vote again on the website of the UK House of Commons. What is the most clear now to the UK, stuck in their own reasonings, is that there is no hopeful future in coming years. To quote an Alvin Toffler who passed away 6 days ago, the UK now is faced with the uncertainty which no one can predict. Korea also has long been formed groups and stuck in their reasoning politically, socially, and regionally. Each one of the people should get out of the reasoning immediately and think about the future of the country, unless we could also become the Sadducees and Pharisees missing the new future or facing the future of uncertainty like the UK. The commander who watched the violent fight between Sadducees and Pharisees made sure that the Sanhedrin was not able to make a decision on Paul. The commander now had to protect Paul, the citizen of Rome, from the fight between Sadducees and Pharisees. In the verse 10, the dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. Sadducees and Pharisees were not alone in the violent fight. They violently fought because of Paul. Sadducees tried to punish Paul, while Pharisees wanted to protect Paul. If the fight was left alone, the life of Paul must have been in danger. So the commander ordered his men to take Paul away from the fight between Sadducees and Pharisees. He mobilized a physical power to protect Paul. And the commander had Paul be moved to the safe barracks of the Roman army. As such, the person who took Paul away from the violent dispute between Sadducees and Pharisees was clearly the commander. It was, however, only on the surface. It was actually the Lord behind the scene who let the commander take Paul away. Paul wasn't stuck in any of reasoning of the world. He was the Christian who pursues only the reasoning of the Trinity God who sacrificed himself to save sinners, the eternal life, and the gospel. At that point, God, with his arm never too short, took him away from the violent dispute between Sadducees and Pharisees. In other words, the Sanhedrin, with an absolute power, could not snatch Paul out of God's hand, which was never short. Jesus spoke as follows. In John 10:27-29, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Isn't it true? God created the universe, and then who or what would dare to take us away from the hands of God, who is bigger than the universe? That is why the death on the cross couldn't take Jesus out of the hands of God. Instead, God snatched Jesus out of the power of death and had Jesus become the savior of the eternal resurrection. Capital punishment could never take Paul away from the hands of God. God snatched Paul, who was beheaded from the power of death, and had him live forever in the middle of us, transcending the time and space. Any reasoning of the world can give us neither the new future nor everlasting future. Not to mention Sadducees and Pharisees, including the Roman Empire, which ruled the whole Mediterranean world 2,000 years ago, and the British Empire, where the Union Jack was waved from where the sun rises, where the sun goes down. Any camp of the world can never exist by itself forever. Only the reasoning of everlasting God exists forever. Let us live as true Christians who make the logic of that eternal truth, the logic of the true life, and the logic of everlasting God as the purpose of life. Nothing and no one in the world could never take us away from God's hand, which is never too short. Instead, God always will take us away from all threats and danger of the world, which try to devour us. Therefore, the new future, an eternal future, is only in God. Let us pray. Thank you for helping us to realize those pathetic Sadducees and Pharisees who, stuck in its own reasoning, forever missed the new future, an eternal future, which could have obtained in Jesus Christ through Paul, was actually us. Have mercy on this country and the people who are stuck in their own reasoning, fight one another, and thus are missing the new future. May us live as true Christians, pursuing the everlasting reasoning of God, who sacrificed himself to save us. Such eternal gospel and grace in life, taking us out of our own reasoning. Help us to prove anything and anyone in the world cannot take us away from the hand of God, which is never too short, through our life, pursuing only the logic of God. May the future of us, our country, and the mankind be renewed thanks to us who follow the logic of God as the purpose of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.